You notice in our studies we've been talking about renewal. And certainly when we think about that and realize that there's things in our lives that maybe we need to make changes and maybe that we could be better than what we are. And hopefully as we think about that and realizing that, you know, the first of the year won't be very far off, and so many people will be making what they refer to as New Year's resolutions. And certainly, we might make those, but, you know, when we have made a pledge to the Lord, then we better keep that, because He's going to hold us accountable if we don't live up to it. And certainly, when we think about being renewed or in our minds and things, and you remember that we talked about in our last thought about our worship is a great source of renewal. And certainly when we think about our worship, we should realize it's a time in which that we can come together as God's people and we can look to the future. And so by doing that, we can increase our abilities in the service of God. And whenever we think about and look at, so many times we see that people make a statement, well, that's a dying church. And like maybe one statement was made one time by a preacher. He came and he said, therefore, and I know that when it comes time for Jesus to come, and when He does come, that this church certainly will be raised first. Because the Bible says the dead in Christ shall rise first. And certainly, when we think about that and realize that as a church, we don't need to be a dying church. We need to be a living, active church. And by doing so, there's things in which that we can do as individuals and even as a whole we can do to keep from dying. And when we think about a dying church has a dull worship. That is, when you go into it, you find that people are bored. And certainly, maybe that there's nothing happens. And we think about that and realize that we go in there and we take the Lord's Supper. And when we do that, we find that in our praying and even in our preaching, that these things are just abused, because people, they think, well, you go to the church and you go through the thought of singing and praying and giving and taking the Lord's Supper and studying a little bit of God's Word and jump right up and go home, that our duty is over for the Lord for the week. But certainly this is not the way that it is. Because after all, we come together in assembly such as this, it should lift us up. It should bring us up out of ourselves and make us want to look to those things in which that we can do to further the cause of Christ what time we're here. Knowing that after that we have gone, someone else is going to be taking that responsibility. And certainly as we think about our duty and our responsibility, we need to have a church that is rich in its worship. We need to have the thought of being renewed as men and women each time that we come together. And we need to learn to reach for God. You know, James talks about God and he says, you draw nigh to God and He'll draw nigh to you. Now, how close do we want God in our life? How close do we want Him to be with us? Jesus had made a statement, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. So how close do we want the Lord? Do we want Him by our side? Do we want to follow the steps in which that He has walked? Or do we want to just seemingly linger behind and not want really much to do in the service of God? It is very sad sometimes when you see people who really don't want to do anything for God, but yet they want God to do everything for them. We have a responsibility. And salvation is not based upon solely God, neither is it based upon solely man. Each do their part. God has already done his. And so it's left up to you to do your part. You cannot be saved separate and apart from God. And in order to be saved, we must do what God requires. And so in our worship, do we come in and we sing these songs of praise to God? Are we looking at the words in which that's been said? Do we think about those things in which that's said? Some of the songs probably have made liars out of those who profess to be Christians. Especially some of the songs, "I want to be a worker for the Lord." We sang that song to the top of our voice, and then when it's all over, someone asks us to do something, and yet we don't want to do it. Why don't we change the word in it then? "I don't want to be a worker for the Lord." But you know, we can sing a lie as well as tell one. And sometimes we sing that song, "Oh, how I love Jesus." But that "Oh, how I love Jesus" goes just as far as long as you don't ask me to do anything. You know, sometimes husbands may tell their wives, "Well, honey, I love you. Just don't ask me to do anything for you." That wouldn't be very good, would it? No, because we express our love by what we do. And if we don't do anything for the Lord, how can we say we love the Lord? And so when we come together, our hearts should be in our worship to God. And when we as Christians reach for things, I do believe that things will happen. You remember Jesus talking about those of his day in Matthew 23 and verse 23. "Woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites. You tithe and mint and anise and cumin." He says, these things you've done, but what happened? You've omitted or you've not done judgment, mercy, faith. He says, these things you ought to have done, but you have left these things undone. People are going to be lost because they have left things undone. And especially when it comes to their salvation. They come down to the end of the road of their life. And then when you ask them, "Is it okay with you and God?" Sometimes they'll say yes. And you know that they have never done anything for the Lord in their life. They have worked for the devil all their life. They left something undone. So that's why, really and truly, you can't go by just what people say. People can say a lot of things, but yet not be what they say they are. I could go around and tell people that I'm a goat or cow or whatever. Tell them that and just keep telling them that, and you know, looking at me, that I don't look like maybe a goat, but because of the facts is, it's not what we have learned, is it? A goat doesn't look hardly like that. But yet, whenever that we tell people, "I'm a Christian," what kind of Christian are you? Well, God only recognizes one kind of Christian. And that's those who do and comply to his will. And when people come down to the end of the way, never done anything for the Lord, but yet they want the Lord to save them in the day of judgment. Now, I'm not talking about people who have come down to near the end of their life and have obeyed the gospel. That's in God's hands. I'm talking about people that's never rendered any kind of obedience except maybe saying, Lord, have mercy upon me. I know from fact that the Bible teaches that those individuals cannot be saved. And we must face the Bible record. And the Bible record says this is the record that God has given us, eternal life, and this life is in His Son. He that hath the Son hath life, but he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. 1 John 5:10-11. But we need to worship God in a way in which that God will be pleased with. And we need to learn that the Christian life is not a life that's, there's no conflict. Because when we face the world, there's a lot of conflict between God's word and what the world believes. But yet we see signs sometimes on the door where it says you enter to worship. And then when you get ready to go out, it says leave to serve. And that's what we need to be doing. And that's what we need to do. So we can have our hearts renewed from time to time. But another thing that's good for renewal is service. Our service to God. The church that is serving is the church that's healthy. It undergoes regular renewal of the heart and mind. We sing sometimes, give me that old time religion. Some of you probably remember that song. But religion is not something that's given. It's something that you do for others. Religion is not something that you get by saying, Lord, have mercy upon me. But it's something in which that we do in our daily lives as Christians, as James talks about in James 2:14-26. And other places we can find. James 1:6. It's something that we do, not something that you get. You can go to the bank and you can get money, but as long as you keep that money in your hand, it's not going to do you any good, is it? You're going to have to use it. And when you use it, then it profits. And so when we think about religion, you say, I'm not religion. Well, how do you know you got it? I can feel it right here in my heart. And when people get that idea within their minds, it's very hard sometimes to teach them what truth really is. Now, you may get a blood clot down here in this heart, but I think sometimes people have got a blood clot in their spiritual heart, which is their mind of knowing things. Because there's a lot of failures there. And we as Christians need to realize that our service to God is more than just attending services. Not saying that that's not responsibility for the Christian, it is. But there's other things in which that we can do. other things in which that we must do. Because why? 2 Corinthians 5:10 said we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to the act done, whether it be good or whether it be bad. And so our service to God is very important, because if we don't serve God, then we're serving someone else. Jesus talked in Matthew chapter 20. I know some time ago we went over this and we looked at that quite a bit. But Matthew 20 and verse 26, we find here Jesus saying about service, he said, "But it shall not so be so among you." Now here was the question, you know, one wouldn't sit on right hand, one wouldn't sit on left. But here he says, it's not going to be so among you. Who is he talking to? Well, at the time he was talking to his disciples, was he not? And those disciples later on became his apostles. But yet, when we look at it, we're the disciples of the Lord, so those things would be applicable to us, would it not? As being disciples of the Lord. And so here he says, it shall not be so among you, but whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. Those that are great, and I know that within the body of Christ that there's a lot of great men and women. I know that. Paul talked about a great woman in Romans 16, Phoebe. She was a great woman. But there's been a lot of great men, and there's a lot of great men and women today. Why? Because they are great, because they are ministering to others, serving others. And that's how we become great. Not by being set on a pinnacle, but by doing God's will. That's great people. And Jesus goes on to tell us, he says, and whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. The next phrase, the next verse says, even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and give his life a ransom for many. You see how much that Jesus gave? He gave his all. How many of us Christians today do you believe that give their all? Do you believe that any of us can do any better than what we are doing? I don't know that if anyone would say, well, I can't do any more. Because we can go back in our minds and we can think and see areas where that possibly we could. And we sing that song, "More About Jesus Would I Know." Acts 10:38 says, Jesus went about doing good. So probably, no doubt, we can find some things in our lives that we can do more of in some areas. But maybe some of those areas is just packed full. We just cannot get anything else in it. But in other areas, we might be able to do some of those things. When we think about that today, is the church full of slaves and servants? It needs to be if it meets God's recognition of it. Or is it full of those in which that want to sit on the right hand or on the left? You know, Jesus talked about that in that same chapter, Matthew 20, 22, 23. Has our spirit taken us into the highways and byways? Remember, Jesus talked about in one of his parables, go into the highways and the byways and bid them to come to the feast. We as Christians, sometimes when we see some individuals, we think, well, those kind of people ain't worth talking to. And those kind of people, you won't want in the church. But you know, those kind of people is the ones who need to be in it. Not doing what they may be doing, but making the effort to correct all things that God is opposed to or against. Every person needs to have salvation. And it doesn't make any difference how far that a person goes down into the mire of sin, if they're willing to come out of that and let God lift them from that, they can be what God wants them to be. God can change an individual's life. He can make us into something that we never was. Why? Because he can and will create a new creation. A new man. 2 Corinthians 5:17. God can do that for us. And he will do that for us if we're willing to let him take us and mold us into what he wants us to be. But ain't it sad sometime that we want to tell God what we want to be rather than what God wants us to be. Now God don't cut too much off in this. I don't want my sideburns cut too short or this or that or the other. But God can make us into what he wants us to be. And sometimes, you know, you see people and they think within themselves, well, I'm just too bad a person. I've done too much things in my life. And I know God can't save me, but God can he? Hebrews 5. In Hebrews chapter 7, he says he is able to save to the uttermost. It makes no difference how far into sin you go or wherever you may live. God can save you and he will save you if you're willing to let him. That's one good thing about the blood of Christ. It's not maybe like some of the dyes you get today. You know, sometimes you take some of those dyes you get and you put it on your clothes and then you decide, well, I want it to be changed to another color. And so you get some dye and it covers over that. But if you're under the blood of Christ and you've got God's protection, then that color, it won't change. And you can be the person that God wants you to be. Sometimes we don't want to be taken into those areas. And sometimes we don't want to rely upon others. But you know, as Christians, we need to learn, if we don't know already, that we have a responsibility, and not only a responsibility, but we need to realize that we can depend upon our brothers and sisters. Because our brothers and sisters can help us through the difficulties of life. And we're going to have them. I have never met a Christian yet that's never had any difficulties in their lives at some time. We may be old in faith, 50, 60, 70, 80 years. Christian all that time. Now we probably, no doubt, have overcome a lot of those difficulties. We've learned in our life, well, you don't step on that stone, because that stone is not the, you know, that's a slippery one. We've learned to make the right steps in certain areas. But yet, man is going to be tempted as long as he lives in this world. As long as he lives in the world. And the thing about it is that we don't give in to those temptations. And we learn to bypass some of those road signs in our lives. Oh, you don't want to take that exit. That exit takes you into wherever it may be. You want to keep on going on this route, this road. This is the right road. Don't take that exit. You know, sometimes in travel, you'll see where it seems like that your road is going to go to the right. But when you get up there and you look at it, that sign says exit. And so you know, well, that, I don't go on that route, I take this route. Same thing is true in our Christian life. We stay on the main road. Don't take exit. You stay on the main road. Do we serve for Christ's sake or for self-ego? We as individuals, we must be willing to be vulnerable. Open for attack, capable of being wounded. How many times you as a Christian have had your heart wounded by things in which that people say? Because what you have said, they didn't like. But it was the truth. And yet they turned and refused to accept it. Or sometimes it may be that we have made enemies because we have told them what the truth is. And that hurts. It hurts whenever you talk with an individual, tell them what the truth is, and then they just simply turn their back on you and won't speak to you. And when they see you, they walk the other direction. It hurts, don't it? But as Christians, we need to realize that that's going to happen. Because they turned their back on Jesus. Even those in which that he had selected to be his apostles. They all forsook him. Even have an account of Peter denying him. Not once. Not twice. But three times. But you know he overcome that. And you know, people today can do the same thing. They can overcome those difficulties. Peter had a difficult time standing for the truth, but Jesus said, when you're converted, you're going to strengthen your brethren. Conversion sometimes takes a lifetime to get it to where that you really are satisfied with. It don't happen just getting into the water and getting baptized, you know, because there's a lot of things in our lives that we have to weed out in. A lot of things. But we do that by the help of others. And we think that we can't be what God wants us to be. We are belittling ourselves. Because if we reach for God, God's going to reach for us. And if we're willing to serve as we should, we'll be able to be vulnerable to the blows of the world. And by the world, things in which that we may talk about that the Bible reveals, the world doesn't like that. Doesn't like it at all. But if you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, hopefully, maybe, possibly have this included this evening, but I just hope and trust that you would realize your need for the Lord and you need to realize that your need for salvation, you can't do it yourself. But the Lord can help you to overcome and help you to be someone in which that He'd be pleased with in His service. If you put your faith in the Lord, trust in Him, be willing to say, yes, Lord, I want You to be my Lord. Turn from every sin that I know is sin. Be willing to be baptized in Him for the remission of sins. And let the Lord add you to the greatest family on this earth. No doubt many of us have seen, you know, a lot. During the holiday, we've seen families we love so dearly. But God's family is greater than any earthly family that we could have here in this world. Greater. It's good when you see a great family that's in the world, and that great family is God's people too. You've got a double family, ain't you? A double family. But if you're not a Christian, why not come while together we stand, sing a song selected.